one of the exciting things about studying God's Word is every time that you open it up, it has something fresh and new. And sometimes the fresh and new is things that we have read over and over again. And if you have your Bible, we're going to look at Matthew, the 25th chapter. And there's a reason for studying this tonight. It's because we're going to have an opportunity as a church to make some differences in lives of people, not only in Covenant County, but around the world. And one of the groups that we have to make a difference in their lives, interestingly enough, is God's chosen people, the Jewish nation. And when you read this passage, let me just remind you that there are going to be two different types of judgments in our lives. You know that. We're going to have a judgment that comes when it has to do with what we have done in obedience, as well as the judgment we have over our sin that, very candidly, we know has already been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you are always worried about what's going to happen when we stand before the Lord, I would suggest something to you that know that you invited Jesus into your life and that he tells us he separates our sin as far as the east is from the west. But that's not the end of the story. We have been saved unto good works. And we need to understand how important that is. If you have your Bible open, Matthew, the 25th chapter, this is part of his teaching, what he was teaching. Somebody told me, when you see red letter, that means it better be read soon. Well, we better read this pretty soon, because the 25th chapter, verse 31 says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left." Now, let's stop there just for a moment and realize that when the Lord brings us into this time of answering for our lifestyle, he is already letting us know to whom we belong. I'd love to think that when the separation between the sheep and the goats, that we are sheep. Goats are always connotated with those who are rebellious in spirit. They very candidly have to do with those who have rejected the role of Jesus and what he is in our lives. And so when we see he's putting us together, he tells us that we will be separated on the right and the left, the goats on the left, the sheep on the right, and then he begins to speak to the sheep. Now, often we miss what he says because we are concerned about what we're supposed to do. Let me say that a different way so we're not misunderstanding this. The rest of the story is caught up in this passage, and we almost always look at it from the standpoint of the things we're supposed to do. That is, we're supposed to feed the hungry. We're supposed to clothe the naked. We're supposed to give drink to the thirsty. We're supposed to do all these things for those who are having their needs in life. Now, that's a good thing to understand. Remember, he is speaking this to his right hand, which is who? This is the sheep. So let's read together. He says, "He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.'" Understand, in all of our lives, when we receive Christ as our Savior, the inheritance that we're going to receive is a guaranteed relationship. Inheritance of what? It's everlasting life? Yes. It is also the absence of the payment of our sin, yes. It is a responsibility, though, between the time we ask Jesus into our lives and when he takes us on to be with him in heaven, there is a duty that we're supposed to accomplish. And that duty, sometimes, we get pretty well stuck on this. And as a Baptist, I've always been so thankful that I believe in once saved, always saved. I'm glad of that because I think that is a truth of God's Word. But that's not the end of the story. There are an awful lot of folks who stop there. As long as they have gotten into heaven by the skin of their teeth, they don't see any responsibility before that. And before we get to heaven, we have a responsibility. And it is not just to sit back like a bump on a log, to show up for church when we feel like it, to do the things we think will be enjoyable to do, but God has called us to some things to accomplish, and there are certain people with whom we're to accomplish them. So let's read together. He says, "Then the king will say to those in his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.'" Now, that's where most people like to stop. It is a good place to stop, I might add, because these are some active things we're supposed to be doing. I look around, and I realize that we are a blessed people. I don't know anybody in here that doesn't have the ability to be a blessing to somebody else with the material possessions that God has given you in this life. You may not be a wealthy person, but then again, he doesn't ask us about our wealth. He asks us about our willingness. And so when we are giving of what we have, what does he say here? He says very simply, the very beginning, he says, "I was hungry and you fed me." Well, we have a responsibility for that, don't we? We like to think because we belong to a group of other churches. We are part of a congregation of not just this location, but as Southern Baptist, we have ministries, we have missions around the world that we say, well, we feed people. We are looking for those who are hungry, and we make certain that they don't have to go to bed without having food. We look at those things, the needs of people around us, and we're pretty good at doing that. I want to commend you. Let me say again, you are very careful to oversubscribe what we put as a, quote, low amount for our Lighting Moon Christmas offering. I would pray that the time will come when we would not see ourselves looking at less than a $50,000 amount. You might say, "Ooh, that's an awful lot of money for this congregation." No, it really isn't. It's just a matter of making up our mind if that's something we ought to be doing. We ought to be giving to feed the hungry. So he says, you fed the hungry. You did this. You gave water to those that were thirsty. You gave clothes to those that were naked. You visited those that were in the hospital, that you went to the prison and you were there to take care of them. And then the righteous people, verse 37 says, "And the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' And then the king will reply, 'So I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine,'" whoa. Now that's the part that gets lost. Who's he talking about? Who would Jesus be talking about here? Is he talking about our taking care of Christians at that particular point? Well, we know we're supposed to do that. But who are Jesus' brothers? I would suggest to you that most scholars are really concerned about us missing the essence of what this teaches. We have a responsibility to look after the Jewish people. Did you know that? You might say, well, aren't these just political Jews today? Why would we think that we have any responsibility over in Israel right now or other parts of the world? Well, I would suggest a thought to you. You just think about this with me. The Bible says that God will bless those who bless Israel, and he will curse those who curse Israel. So maybe in the middle of, I know most of you in here do watch some Christian television, right? I mean, there are some really good Christian television programs. Not all of them are people hollering looking for money. An awful lot of them are there to teach us things, and they show us how we can participate. Some years ago when we were taking a group with us to Israel, we went by and looked at some of the places that weren't there the time we'd been there before, some of the ministries that are going on, and very candidly, we were shocked surprised and glorifying the name of the Lord for what many Christians are doing here in the United States, because we're feeding people in Israel. We are clothing them. We're giving them opportunity to find very productive work. We're doing some of the things that the Bible teaches us to do. But why am I on that tonight? Because some of us kind of breathe a sigh of relief and say, well, we're doing the best we can. But have you ever picked out somebody that you need to get involved with in your life? Not just a broad categorical we give on Sunday, but somebody that, a family that you really want to help. People that you know you're getting involved in their lives. You see, there's a difficulty, and I must confess to you, it's a difficulty that I struggle with myself. It's a lot easier to give anonymously than it is to get involved. And yet, isn't this exactly what Jesus was teaching when he let them know, when he was talking to those of us who are here listening to the right and the left, to the those who are the sheep and those who are the goats? Very simply, he says, you did this for my brothers. So who were Jesus' brothers? Well, certainly we know that we are in Christ a family, but it goes beyond that, because at this particular point, what he is saying to them is very candidly, we have a responsibility to do for people that which they cannot and will not be able to do for themselves, but to get involved. So he says, the king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers of mine, you did for me. And then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, and you are into an eternal fire from here forward. It is prepared for the devil and his angels. Because he says, I was hungry and you didn't give me anything to eat. I was thirsty and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. And they also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do that for me. And then he goes on to say, and then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. So I have a responsibility because I know I'm on the sheep side. Does that make sense? In other words, I know that I'm a Christian. You know that you're a Christian. Why? Because by faith we believed in Jesus Christ. But that's not the stopping place. That's the starting place. And so Jesus is now telling us, as he is gathering the group together before this time, a prejudgment, as it were, he is saying very simply to the church, you have a responsibility the moment you become one of my followers. You are a part of the sheep, not the goats. You have a responsibility to do the things that will bring honor to the kingdom, because you're going to be looking after my brothers. Now, his brothers, certainly we know he speaks of the Jewish people in this. We can also believe that we have been brought into that family because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Why do we have to do that? Because it's a mandate. If we don't take care of the people of Israel, then whatever we have gained in our taking care of one another pales by comparison to what we could have accomplished or what we should have accomplished. Why do we do that? Because he told us to. He says if we're not a blessing to them, then we won't be blessed. I pray as a nation. I pray for our president. I hope you pray for our president. I don't always agree with him on everything, but I'll tell you, I deeply appreciate his role with the nation of Israel. I hope you understand that. That's critically important. I think it's going to spell an awful lot of productivity for those of us who are Christians now living here in the United States, because this is a way of God's blessing of our nation. I think we're being blessed in some ways we may not even understand, because we are blessing Israel. I have told many of you before, one of our daughters is involved very integrally in a ministry with Israel, and she it's been quite interesting, I just had to tell you that, to see her perspective of things change, her perspective of life change, because she realizes that if we are not doing that, we are missing the calling upon our lives. So what is a small church in South Alabama supposed to do about that? Well, we realize we're not going to all get on a jet plane and go over to Israel and start to hand out food and clothes or water, though you may want to do that someday, but that's not what we're going to plan tonight. But how does it start? How do you start ministering to people? When you realize that anybody we do this with, for, or to is the same way of doing it to Jesus. We would, if somebody told us that we were going to hop on a plane and we were going to go to Jerusalem. Now, a number of you have been to Jerusalem, so you know once you get to Tel Aviv and you get on your bus or your car or whatever it is, you get going to Jerusalem, and it's not as impressive looking as you might think it would be. It's pretty hot and dry, and I mean, there are great things to see, of course. But very candidly, we think in terms of doing things for Jerusalem, going in there, and it's really not the idea of just going over there. It's the idea of believing that God has a plan for our lives to minister to his children and do it in a way, and as Julie tells me from time to time, some of these people are pretty obstinate. I mean, you would think, well, they'd just be welcoming all of us to come over and help them, and the truth is that's not so. But then again, not everybody welcomed Jesus helping them either, did they? So it comes up with, what are we doing? Why are we doing it? And with whom are we doing it? And what are we doing? We're giving. We have a life of giving. The only thing that we're going to have is what we've given away. To whom do we do it? We have an opportunity to do it to the least of these. We do it certainly to those in need in Israel. We do it for those who are in need in Covenant County as well. But we do it because we're in love with Jesus Christ. And we want him to be able to say to us at the given time, well done, good and faithful servant. You did what you're supposed to do. Now enter into my kingdom and rejoice in that. Why is it so important to respond to this at this particular time? I think our world right now is teetering on the brink. I really do. I'm not sure what that means. I'm not sure it's the brink of nuclear war. I'm not sure it's the brink of poverty. I'm not sure it's the brink of everything going wonderfully well. I don't know. I think it's on the brink, though. And when I look at it and say it's on the brink, that tells me that something in my life must be adjusted to preparing for this next paradigm of life. We have an opportunity. We have an opportunity as a church. We have an opportunity as a Christian community. We have an opportunity to redeem this time wisely. So if we need a mandate to do it, the first thing we need to realize, he talks about the sheep and the goats. I raise my hand. I'm a sheep. Everybody agree with me on that? I mean, you're sheep. All right, so we agree that we're sheep. Now, he says, what are the sheep to do? They're supposed to give the food, the water. Are we supposed to give the clothing? We're supposed to take care of these people. We're supposed to minister to them, not because we're going to know them all, because he says, these are my brothers. He didn't say you're doing that for me specifically. If you do it for them, then I am blessed by it. Jesus walked in here tonight, and we said we're going to take an offering to praise and honor the Lord. How many of us would do everything we possibly could? I have a feeling that we'd even see some full wallets just dropped in that offering plate. I mean, we'd stand here in awe. We would just, you know, we'd say, huh, we're going to be able to give to Jesus in a way that, and then stop, just think with me just for a moment. What if he said to us, whatever you give now is going to make all the difference in what you have here on earth and what you're going to have in heaven? I think we'd probably see some very large commitments, don't you? I mean, we would think, boy, I need to get that done. And then he says, no, but wait. If you do this for the least of these, that's me in your midst. I love to think about Christ being in each of our lives. I shared this morning just before my button flew off, so some of you forgot all about that. I realize that. I thought somebody was throwing things at me up there, Brother Chris, and then I realized it was a string hanging down from my coat with a button going over my head every time I'd raise my left hand. So you know how I fixed that? I pulled it off. And I don't have it. It's at the house, I think, now. But if it's not, you can check. If I wear that black coat again, you'll watch out for the button going by. But in the midst of all of this, let me just tell you, what we are doing together as a church is more important than you ever might imagine. What we're doing is to prepare our lives for eternal life. So what we do for each other, look around you. What are you doing for the community? What are you doing for the people in here that you don't even know? What are you doing for our youth? Say, I don't know these youth. Well, may need to learn them. I have a very distinct feeling that if you were to ask Emmett to do this, he would bring them over to your house and a couple of them would come eat with you. And you don't even have to feed Emmett. But if you do, you better have a lot. But what are we doing for them? Well, we don't know them. You know, they all sit down at the front. I don't know them. Well, they need to get to know them. But then they can turn back around and say, I don't know Second Baptist Church back here behind the break. I mean, that's all the old folks. Not all of them are old folks. Kelly, raise your hand. You're not an old folks, are you? Okay. Jimmy, raise your hand. No, that's it. You see, the whole point being, we need to be doing with each other. When's the last time you invited somebody in this congregation to be a part of your life, to minister to them? They may not be hungry for the food you bring. They may be hungry for the fellowship you offer. Hey, we need each other. Do you know that? Really do. We're never going to be the church God wants us to be if we only see each other here on Sunday mornings. So when he talks about unto the least of these, I think we start with our own congregation. And then we have a plan to help those we'll never see. I love giving through the cooperative program. I'm thankful for that. I believe in the cooperative program. Somebody said, we ever going to get it paid off? You don't pay off the cooperative program. That's a way of giving in places that you can't possibly go anytime yourself soon. Now, you may get there one day, but right now, before you get there, you can send that ahead. And so I think that's really critically important, and I'm thankful we can do that. But let me remind you also, there's a third thought to that. Get involved with the lives of somebody that you may never physically see, but you can support and love them, to pray for them, to help them in ways that you may never understand. You might say, well, what if it's not through our church? I would suggest something to you. There are an awful lot of good organizations. All of us know Samaritan's Purse, right? I mean, shake our heads yes, because we see them actively involved in so many places of disaster. But I'll tell you, there are a lot of other groups of Christians that are united together to be a blessing into the Holy Land in Israel. Well, Brother Bill, why is that so important? Because God told us to do it. Just that simple. Do you understand it totally? No, I don't. I really don't. I don't always understand why God tells us to do certain things. Do you? I mean, there's some things just don't make good sense to me. And maybe that's why he tells us that without faith, it's sin. I've just got to believe he has a plan that he wants us to do it. So we help one another. Then we help those around us through our tithes and offerings, and then we pick out places that we can get involved in people's lives in a very special way. And then Jesus is going to say to our lives, you did it to the least of these, you were doing that for me. Now, why in the world would I be asking you to do that? Because I want you to be blessed. I really do. I would love for people to be able to say, the First Baptist Church of Op, look at the folks down there. My, how they love the Lord and how God is blessing their lives. So how does he bless us? Well, I think he will bless us first. Listen closely. I think the more you give, the more you have from which to give. You say, well, I don't have enough material possessions to give. That's not right. He doesn't want us to give out of our abundance. He wants us to give out of a commitment. So if I don't have a whole lot to give, maybe he's not looking at all the massive amounts of wealth. And you may have massive amounts of wealth that you need to give. But whatever you have, it's what's in your hand. It's what you have control over. It's what you're willing to do, because God wants to bless your life in that. But secondly, as you do that, get involved with the recipient of the gift. Find people that you can serve. And not just serve them, because he says very simply, you not only fed me and you clothed me, but you visited me. You got involved in my life. Why do we want to do those things? Because we want God's blessing. We want to be different as a church. I mean, you know, somebody said that most churches have as a watchword, we could just go back to the way it used to be, or to find it, you know, if we can just reach status quo. Well, you know what status quo is, don't you? It's Latin for it ain't working. You know, we are in a position where so many people forget this is a different time in the world. And we have a need to make a difference in the world. And the way we do that is by committing ourselves to doing it to the least of these, because we are the sheep. And we're doing it because we are in love with Jesus Christ. So he says, I'm going to bless you materially for having done that. The more you give, the more from which you have to give. You believe that's true? Do you really? Well, you're going to be getting your financial statements from the church for 2019 for long, so we'll see if you really believe that. I'm going to go through and check every one of them. Well, it's been a joy to be here as your interim pastor, but... Now, I'm not going to do that, but I'll tell you what, God's already checked them. And the reason I say that is because so many people think, well, I can't afford. Yes, you can. You may need to make a difference. How many, again, invited somebody into your home to love on them, to encourage them? How many have a ministry of going to the hospital? You say, well, I don't know them that well. You don't have to know them that well. Let me remind you of this. It's the fact that you care to go. To have a ministry of writing notes. How many of you like to get a note, a handwritten note? Boy, I do. I mean, yeah, I don't mind your emailing me on something, because there's certain things, information that it's important to get, but boy, it means a whole lot more. I hold on to notes that people write me. I mean, I just have to tell you, that makes a difference in our life. Have a ministry. Get involved in the life. Find somebody that's sick at First Baptist Church here in Op, Alabama, and write them a note every week. Let them know, I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you being there. Can't wait till you're at church with us next Sunday. You think that would make a difference? Find somebody that's not a part of this church. Write them a letter. Tell them that you care about them. So as we bring our material things, there's a blessing that comes materially. As we get involved in people's lives, the richest people in the world are the people who have investments in the lives of other people. I have a friend that I went to high school with. I have to tell you that I've had several people ask me would I introduce them to him, because he was the one who developed Netscape. If any of you remember what that used to be, he sold his stock in it, barely made a profit out of it. He only worked there for 2 years at it, getting paid, but as a head of it, his stock was worth about $2 billion. And I've had some people in our class, we keep up with each other a little bit at a distance, and they said, you know, it's nice to have at least one of us who's been successful in life. And I thought, boy, no. I am so successful, I just had to tell you that. I love getting in touch with, I know, I stay in touch with people that are investing in my life and I in theirs. So not only is it interesting to be a part of you give your life. It's neat to find somebody that knows the generation. because let me be very candid. As a church, good job with that. But let's not let that be the end of the story. My encouragement, refer to the church as they. And there are some they's in it, but I think that that's not the point. It's a we. My suggestion we are is that until you do something in the days ahead, it won't be contagious with anybody else. We can form committees until we're blue in the face. I found out that's not what we're after. It's people that are in love with Jesus, that are taking your neighbor into your home, that are visiting, that are caring, that are giving out of both abundance and pass it on to the next, out of need. I don't just use that term lightly when I say the best is yet to come. That's been a kind of mantra that we've used in several churches that I've absolutely. And it's interesting for Jesus, making a difference, caring about people, because they realize it's when you put a program up on us with Jesus, that I want to say to him, oh, I see Jesus in my neighbor over here. So for the least of these, he gave that out, you've done it unto me. Not our nature to want to help people. Our nature is to want to be helped ourselves, isn't it? I mean, our nature is to sit on our ecclesiastes, hey, be a Baptist pastor. I can see that. I mean, what's that church going to do for me? Well, let me tell you something. I love Jesus. You be able to say to the First Baptist Church here, not. You did it for the least of these. You did it so I can show the world. So I take care of my own. And then one day, we're going to hear those words, which really is one of the few little things, well done. Let me tell you something. This world's going to pass just like that. I mean, it does. For birthday, I look back. I thank you for that. I can't believe that I'm that old. Okay. Thank you. Make sure we had this thing worked out here. But life passes just like that. I mean, it just does. Get up off of our, we think that in our laurels in life and use our lives to make a difference in this community. The happiest members of First, and you'll be contagious. Well, I was asking somebody the other day, I said, we miss seeing. Now, there may be, I don't know, I've chosen not to participate. I'm going to catch something if they come to church. But I hope they do catch something. But I hope they catch our enthusiasm, our excitement, they'll say, how they love one another. And Jesus will say, my, how they love me. Lord, think that in our hearts. Thank you that your word is true. Thank you that there's not anything you've called us to do that you've not already prepared the way for, and that you've already have the blessing right here in our congregations and to see the community. Or they may be that we could give through our tithes and offerings, or it may be that we get involved, we begin some people that we'll never see of just caring about somebody and showing the love of Jesus. Lord, help us to make a difference. Lord, now as we, Lord, may you be glorified. We praise you, we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night.